Who are most respected of all beings that exist? The excellent ones with wisdom, not mistaken about reality. Okay, so we can see, there's some kind of development here in verse 68. Who has the intense discipline, you know? So the best person who has intense discipline is somebody who's in control of their own energies and their own mind. So it's not somebody who has the best athletic discipline, you know, to train for marathons. And who is the best speaker of all strong beings? Again, not, you know, somebody who just pontificates and, spreads whatever kind of thing they're saying, but it's the those who have listened closely to a vast range of teachings on enlightenment. And then here, who are the most respected of all beings? Yeah, the excellent ones with wisdom, not mistaken about reality. Okay, so we can, when we say who are the most respected of all beings, you know, our mind usually goes to worldly respect. Yeah, well, we respect so-and-so because they have power, and so-and-so because they have money, and so-and-so because, you know, they do different things. Sometimes we respect people who do really wonderful, you know, social engagement work, or, you know, people like Mother Teresa who work for, you know, the poor or the injured, the ill. Yeah, so we have respect for those people as well. As well as for, you know, like, I mean, really, who gets the most respect? The great athletes and the movie stars, yeah, who are not the most happy beings at all. You know, if anything, it's the opposite. But here, you know, who really is the most respected by the wise, not maybe not by the whole world, but by the wise, are people who have wisdom that understands reality. Yeah, why? Because when we have that wisdom, then we can overcome our disturbing emotions, and then our, you know, attachment and anger and jealousy and conceit and all these things don't torment us so much. We have better relationships with others. We can, they say we conquer, you know, these afflicted minds. That's why another epithet for the Buddha is the conqueror. Yeah, because of conquering these afflicted mental states. And that's done through the realization of the emptiness of inherent existence, which is the reality of all phenomena. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, in our lives we feel like, gee, I'm not very well respected. People should respect me more. Yeah, do you ever feel that way? Like, well, how come they respect that person and they don't respect me? You know, I'm better than them. But then, you know, when our mind gets like that, we should ask ourselves if we have the realization of the ultimate nature of reality or not. You know, how deserving of respect are we? Because actually, when our mind is craving respect, our mind is under the influence of afflictions. And an afflicted mind is certainly not respectable. Okay? So often, you know, the mind that is complaining, oh, I'm not respected enough, I'm not appreciated enough, people don't acknowledge my good qualities enough. That mind itself, when we look at it, is one of the reasons why we're not respected and appreciated. You know, because that mind is quite a self-centered mind of afflictions. Yeah, and so at that point we should remember that, you know, when we have the mind that understands reality, when we have the mind of bodhicitta that has love and compassion and an altruistic intention for all beings, then that mind becomes respectable, you know, and the person who has it is a respected being. But of course, that person at that point in their journey doesn't really care very much about being respected. Yeah, when you're really working for the benefit of others, their respect for you doesn't really matter. You know, it matters only in the sense that you, by having a good reputation, it enables you to work for the benefit of others more. But for your own sake of being acknowledged, you know, being respected has no meaning whatsoever. And the same goes for people who have a deep understanding of emptiness. It's like, what is others' respect and appreciation going to do for me? It doesn't get me to full awakening. It doesn't fulfill any of my most, you know, my deepest spiritual yearnings. You know, and even, you know, we now can understand that when we think of what's most important in our life and our spiritual yearnings. How does, you know, being respected and having a good reputation really further those? You know, when we're attached to those things, it doesn't further our deepest aims and aspirations. Okay, so we should instead set our mind on gaining bodhicitta and the understanding of reality, and then not worrying so much about whether people like us, appreciate us, acknowledge us, respect us, love us. You know, we can give all of that kind of stuff up because it's not really meaningful in the long term. Yeah, sometimes we want to set a good example, and our motivation isn't entirely to benefit others, it's also so we can have some respect ourselves. Yeah, and I very quickly learned the hard way, let me tell you this now so you don't repeat my mistake, that trying to set a good example does not set a good example. Yeah, and trying to set a good example doesn't really benefit others. Being a good example does, yeah. But trying to doesn't always have the results that we want it to have. The story, well, I just remember when I lived in the monastery in France, you know, I thought, I should, you know, I want to be a good example for others. And so I tried to be a good example, and I didn't understand why, you know, they all didn't respect me and like me. And that made me quite upset and angry. Yeah. And then I realized, you know, when you're trying to be something, you aren't that. Yeah. That you really have to, you know, yes, I have to try to act well, yeah, for the benefit of others, yeah, but not so that I can earn respect or so that others will look at me as being a good example and praise me, because when there's that kind of sneaky motivation, then it sabotages the whole thing, you know, then you aren't genuinely that. Yeah, you're kind of faking it. And of course, other people don't respond to faked things. Or they don't respond as we would like them to. Yeah, you get criticized, do you know, whatever you do when you're trying to be a good example, because people misinterpret it, you know? Yeah. So when others don't view us in the positive light that we would like to be viewed in, you know, first we have to look at our motivation. And then we also have to look at what have we done that might make them not respect us and see us in such a good light, and do some purification of those things. So instead of complaining, others don't appreciate me, others don't respect me, to do some purification of the causes that we've created, either in this life or previous life, that would lead others to not have that kind of positive view of us. Yeah, because that kind of thing doesn't come without causes. Oh yes, when we're trying to become a good example, there's low self-esteem, like I'm not really so good, so I'm going to try and be good. And then also pride is mixed in, because then if I can be a good example, then I can... Yeah.
That's where the fakeness
comes in. Yep.